George Marshall's ascent to power and prominence began on January 27, 1914, under the shade of a bamboo clump. Nearly 5,000 U.S. Army soldiers had just completed an amphibious landing on the island of Luzon in the Philippines and were gathering to attack Manila, some 60 miles to the north. Marshall, then a 33-year-old first lieutenant, was sitting in the mud with his back against one of the trees, surrounded by officers awaiting orders. The wide brim of his felt campaign hat was tipped up, revealing closely cropped sandy hair and deep-set blue eyes. Staring intently at a map, he slowly and confidently dictated orders detailing a choreography of infantry, cavalry, field artillery, signal corps, Filipino scouts, field kitchens, surgical tents, wagons, and hundreds of pack animals. They were to move north day and night on mucky trails through patches of jungle, fields of sugarcane, towering razor grass, and mountain passes. One of the officers who witnessed Marshall's performance that day was Henry Hap Arnold, a West Pointer who would rise to become head of the Army Air Force during World War II. Arnold was so impressed that in a letter to his wife he wrote that he had met a man who was going to be chief of staff of the Army someday. Over the next 8 days, Marshall's invasion forces outwitted the enemy defenders and captured successive objectives on the way to Manila. It was just an exercise, a mock invasion and attack, but those who were there spread word throughout the officer ranks that Marshall was a military genius, one of the most promising future wartime leaders in the Army. Instigated by the War Department in Washington, the 1914 maneuvers had been designed to test the Army's readiness to defend the Philippine archipelago against a possible invasion by Japan. Following victory in the Russo-Japanese War of 1904 to 1905 and the complete annexation of Korea 5 years later due to the assassination of a prominent Japanese statesman by a Korean, Japan had become the preeminent power in the Pacific. The Philippines, symbol of U.S. imperialism, stood directly in the path of Japan's increasingly aggressive designs to dominate East Asia. To simulate a Japanese attack, a white force was to land at Batangas Bay, south of Manila, and try to overwhelm the brown force charged with defending the capital. Given the importance and high-profile nature of the maneuvers, the largest ever in the Philippines, it was unlikely that a mere first lieutenant like Marshall, no matter how competent, would command the white force. In fact, General J. Franklin Bell, head of the Philippine Department, had initially selected a hard-drinking colonel to take charge. "A courtly gentleman, a very nice fellow," recalled Marshall, although he couldn't, or preferred not to, remember his name. Referring to the man's propensity for strong drink, Marshall wrote that the colonel would ride beside him in a spring wagon with a zinc-lined suitcase, and every time they stopped he would open the suitcase and refresh himself against the Philippine heat. Under the colonel, his name was William Cathcart Butler, the first stage of the attack, the amphibious landings by the White Force, had to be delayed a week due to a snafu in procuring an adequate number of landing boats. Marshall, an adjutant assigned to the colonel's staff, stepped into the chaos and coolly secured the boats, arranged to have stalls built for the pack animals, and organized the amphibious landings. The umpires for the maneuvers, having lost confidence in Colonel Butler, proposed that he be removed from command. At some risk to his own career, Marshall presumptuously suggested that to save face, the colonel be left in nominal command, but that he, Marshall, be allowed to act as Butler's alter ego in planning and leading the attack, along with Marshall's close friend, Captain Jens Buge, the White Force chief of staff. The umpires agreed. The next day, Buge suffered a malarial attack and had to return to Manila. The umpires and General Bell had no choice. Marshall was the only one with knowledge of the White Force plans, forces, and officers. With the War Department in Washington and the garrison in Manila watching, the maneuvers had to go on. First Lieutenant Marshall was in sole command of almost 5,000 men. Except for Marshall's failure to commit enough of his forces to the first day's objective, his performance was regarded by the umpires as outstanding.